Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thanks. I needed that. Meme after meme today exclaims, thanks. I needed that. Meme after meme, from Roger Rabbit to Charlie Brown hugging Snoopy, from Will Ferrell in Elf to Harrison Ford being slapped in the movie Sabrina. And some of us still remember that 1970s commercial that featured an unknown John Goodman refreshing his freshly shaved face with Menin Skin Bracer. Slapping the product on his face, he exclaimed, "Thanks, I needed that." That commercial, that was a wake-up moment for that man that morning. Everybody needs a wake-up moment. That's what the prophet Isaiah needed. The prophet Isaiah needed his own wake-upper moment if he was going to be ready to be God's prophet to the kingdom of Judah. Oh, it's true. Isaiah had a tough assignment. To be God's prophet at that time in Judah, well, Judah was on its way to destruction and captivity. That call was a tough assignment. You see, Isaiah was to utter the message of God and his will, applying law to their circumstances. You see, to the godless, he would proclaim God's wrath and inevitable destruction. You can only imagine that that was not a popular message. But it wasn't always that way. During his initial years of service, Isaiah prophesied to a kingdom that was flourishing, but it was also a kingdom that was disintegrating and decaying underneath. Judah was turning to gross idolatry and human sacrifices and turning away from God's help. In reality, Judah seemed to prefer worldly help from the Assyrians and Babylonians. So God, through his prophet Isaiah, revealed the future. It was a future of your country lies desolate. Foreigners devour your land, and after which there will only be a very few survivors. But Isaiah also foretold an even greater future, the survival of a remnant with many promises of a Messiah and the glories of the Messianic period. So Isaiah needed a waker-upper moment. And to prepare him for his task, Isaiah had his waker-upper moment in a vision. In his vision, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the glory of the Lord. He saw the Lord in all of his power and glory. And Isaiah was overwhelmed by what he saw. And he despaired of his unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. In his vision, Isaiah is most concerned about his unclean lips. And in his vision, those lips receive the forgiveness via a means of grace. The seraph obtained a burning coal from the altar in heaven. It was just plain wood united with divine fire. As Isaiah's lips were touched, the seraph exclaimed what this meant: "Your guilt is taken away. Aren't you glad it's water that is poured upon your forehead, and your guilt, your sin, is taken away?" As that coal touched Isaiah's mouth, his guilt was taken away and his sin was atoned for, and it delivered even more. It provided Isaiah with the one attribute to best equip him for the task that now lie before him. What was it? The experience and the relief of the forgiveness of his own sins. Having had this thanks, I needed that moment, Isaiah was ready to be sent as the spokesperson of the triune God to a fallen people and a fallen world. Here I am. Send me. Send me. 10 years ago, I stood here and said, here I am. Send me. Send me. I had completed my vicarage. I had completed my studies at seminary. I had graduated from Concordia Seminary. I had been sent by Woodlands Lutheran Church. At a farewell and Godspeed service, the members of Woodlands Lutheran Church sent me to be your pastor. It was 4 years earlier that I stood at that altar and they sent me to seminary. And it was 4 years before that that I had a waker-upper moment. Karen and I were taking Grace and Emma to a kid party, and we passed a cemetery on the left. And along the road, we were talking about what I would do if I didn't work at Walt Disney World. We talked about a lot of different careers, and then she said, "What about a pastor?" Before that, no one had ever suggested that I would be a pastor. But after that moment, it seemed everybody was suggesting that I would be a pastor. Even ardent atheists said, "You should be a pastor." I know. I worked with them. I asked them. That day, I believe that God sent me a waker-upper moment, and I can say, thanks. I needed that. And I have said in my biography, which I'll probably never write, that chapter would be called From the Cemetery to the Seminary. Like Isaiah, I had been called, and I said, here I am. I remember singing that song in the car, driving to and from work, saying, okay, Lord, if I'm going to seminary and I'm going to be a pastor, here I am. Send me. This day, Trinity Sunday, provides us each with an opportunity for our own waker-upper moment. The reality is, God is still holy and almighty God, and we live every moment with unclean lips, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Contrary to what people may think and say and do in our day, and to whom or what they look to for safety and deliverance, the same almighty and all-powerful God that Isaiah saw in his vision remains omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, and judges by the same 10 commandments. And you see, we fare no better. Isaiah probably lived a pretty good life, and we probably believe that we do too. But he and we can only say in the presence of God Almighty, woe is me, for I am lost. Good news for us, God is still a merciful God. Our God, not only of power and glory, but of grace. By grace, God left us a few survivors at the demise of Judah. And through the ministry of Isaiah, he showered those survivors with a plethora of promises of the one who would come out of Judah to save those who remained faithful. By grace, God kept those promises and made possible the salvation of all mankind by sending his Son to atone for our guilt and our sins. By grace, God still sends spokesmen to carry his message of law and gospel. He inspires men like Vicar Otterman to go to seminary to study and toil and prepare to stand here and to share a message of law and gospel week in and week out, whether you want to hear it or not. God provides men to stand here and to share that message. And by grace, God sends all of us, each and every one of us, to tell of the love of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so we all stand and say, here am I. Send me. Send me. Today is Trinity Sunday, and we cannot and do not fully understand the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It is and will always remain a mystery to us on this side of heaven. Only when we are in heaven will we slap ourselves on both sides of our face like the guy in that television commercial and say, thanks, I needed that. But for now, this is still a God of mystery. And he sends those who have experienced repentance and forgiveness to announce his law and to share his gospel for forgiveness to all mankind. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Continues to be his call today for pastors and teachers and everyday witnesses. And so we say, thanks. I needed that, but we also respond, here I am. Send me. Send me. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.